Before services, I got my mind a little distracted. I forgot to pass on to Joe. I heard this morning that Brother Randy Dendy has and his wife are in need of your prayers. In the past 3 weeks, he's lost his father, his father-in-law, and his younger sister. And it's been a very difficult time for him. So please, please keep Randy and his wife in your prayers as they go through this loss. If you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 14. Starting in verse 6 and going through verse 10, the Bible reads, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, 'The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them.'" August 28, 1963, a man was standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. He gave a famous speech, "I Have a Dream," Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he shared a vision for this country. It was a vision, it was a speech that has touched the lives of many throughout the years. He began this speech by referencing that 100 years before that speech was the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. And parts of that speech still ring in our ears today, about how he had a dream of an America where people would judge others not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He saw a nation where people would treat one another with dignity and where justice would stand for all. His vision and that dream, as well as that speech, impacted this country. Just shy of 5 years later, Dr. King would be murdered because striving to make that dream a reality. You know, there are visionaries, and then there are the people who seek to destroy the vision of those around them because of fear and hatred. Now, one would think that with the powerful rhetoric that Dr. King delivered that speech and the passion in which he delivered it, that equality would have been a change in this nation, that it would have happened very quickly. But sadly, there weren't a whole lot of people who were ready for that change, and they openly opposed it. And even today, we only see a small portion of that vision. While his story has impressed many, and his life was highly respected, it is no surprise that in 1963, people did not take the words of that dream and make them into a national reality. After that speech, the voice of racism and hatred was louder than the voice of equality and peace. And the Civil Rights Act of 1964 opened the door, but it didn't fix a national problem. Well, the Bible gives us another account where two men had a vision of greatness for a nation. But the voice of 10 men caused the hearts of the people to turn against them, even to the point that they wanted them killed. And it is their account tonight that we need to learn and hear. You know, since the time that they left Egypt, Moses had been guiding these children of Israel to the land that God had promised them, the land that the Bible called the land of milk and honey. And when they came to the edge of that land, outside next to the wilderness of Paran, God in Numbers 13 and verse 2, he tells Moses in that point, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. For each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So we have 12 men, a leader from each one of the tribes. They were chosen to go out and spy out the land promised by God. And these men were gone for 40 days. And they brought back the fruits of that land. They brought back grapes that were carried by two men and pomegranates so that the people could see the bounty of the land and show them just how great that land was. And each one of these 12 men agreed just how wonderful that land was. In the same chapter, in verses 26 and 27, it says, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Now, if we could just end it right there and nothing else was said, I believe we would have a whole different story than what truly happened. If you continue down the next couple of verses, 28 and 29, it says, however, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Their cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and all along the Jordan. See, this was the land that God had promised Abraham would be his descendants. And it would make a great home. Can you imagine moving from one place to another and not have to plant anything, that everything you had was already there? That the house that you walked into was already there? All you had to do was just move in? And just imagine the tremendous bounty that awaited them. But 10 of these men said that they were not powerful enough to face the giants that lived there. And then we come to the words of Caleb in verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome it. Friends, the giants that we face are not the enemy we think we see. Sometimes the giants are in our own fellowship. Now, it's difficult to bring about a vision in God's ministry and in other things when we find ourselves surrounded by people who tell us why God doesn't do that anymore. Yet every time God directs our path, God empowers our actions. And as a church, we must face the giants by seeking to connect with God more than seeking God to connect with us. You know, Caleb and Joshua, they weren't a whole lot different than a lot of the other people that were in the multitude of Israel. They were born slaves in Egypt. They witnessed a lot of great things. And they knew that God was stronger than the Egyptian army. They knew that God was stronger when Pharaoh and his soldiers were coming up against them on the Red Sea. They knew God would prevail. They also knew that God was stronger than any of the fortified cities in the land of Canaan. And they believed it so deeply that in their heart, all they needed to do was follow God into the promised land. Just as God destroyed the Egyptian army, God would destroy the inhabitants of Canaan. The people, the multitude, were afraid. For some folks, fear is a part of their lives. Some live in a future fear. And so what we need to do is strive to see things through the eyes of God. For God is the only one who knows tomorrow today. You know what is so amazing with Caleb? And I guess you could say Joshua too. Whether it was when he was 40 going out to spy the land or when he was 85 and they had finally taken over much of the promised land, Caleb saw God as bigger than anything he may have to face. You know, it's Peter that, in 2 Peter chapter 1, that draws us back to a truth that we need to remember. In verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter, writing to Christians who were dispersed and being persecuted, he said, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His glory and excellence." Look again at the first three words, His divine power. He wants these fellow Christians to know that God is power. And they want them to remember that power and what that divine power has already done. It granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Have you ever sat and thought about that word granted for just a moment? A grant is a gift that is given to someone who has a need, and it is something that is freely given without the requirement to repay. What we see is that God has granted, given to us everything we need in this life and the life to come. In the very next verse, we get the same phrase. God has granted to us His precious and very great promises. When we live in connection with God, we live with the assurance that God has everything under control, even when it looks out of control to us. You know, when I was writing that, I thought back for just a moment of our Sunday morning Bible study with Jacob and Rebecca, how they worked to get that blessing from Isaac. With Isaac being old and blind, thinking his time was come, they had to do something instead of leaning on the assurances of God to fulfill His promise. Now, we may not understand whatever current situation we may be faced with, but we need to trust in the God who sees not only tomorrow, but every tomorrow to come. You know, one thing that Caleb did not do, he did not deny the facts of the matter. Yes, there were giants in the descendants of Anak, giants in other words. there were fortified cities. The people of Canaan were strong. But Caleb trusted where the others did not, that God was bigger, that God was stronger, that God was able to defeat them if all they had to do was simply follow God into the promised land. We cannot deny the facts of our situation, but we need to make sure that we see them through the power of God's promises. Dr. King had a dream. That dream came at a cost, his life. But he made it clear that he knew the dream he had, and the words that he spoke would probably or maybe cost him his life. Caleb and Joshua traveled with 10 other men for 40 days into a land that they were to inherit. These men too had a dream and a vision. It was a land, a rich land that was to become their home. And these two men trusted in the great promises of God. They leaned on His divine power, the divine power that granted them life and godliness. And yet, sadly, they were going to have to turn around and wander in that wilderness another 40 years. It would take them that long before they would realize the vision and the dream. But only two would see it, Joshua and Caleb. All others were gone, including their great leader. We face, as Christians, many obstacles in our daily walk. And as we continue to live each and every day, we are going to face more and more obstacles. We are going to face the temptations and the trials. We're going to face the hardships that come along the way. And a lot of these things are going to seem to be as giants. But if we face them today with the power of God in us at work, all these giants will be as grasshoppers in our past. We must never fear the giants when God is with us. You know, a little child, when they go to bed in their bedroom at night, may fear of the monster in the dark. But the one thing that helps that child face their fear is when mom or dad come into the room and sit on their bed and help them to know that the power of love of a parent is greater than any monster in the dark. And at some point, that child falls off to sleep, because they know that mom or dad is always right there with them. Jesus made a promise. He said, "I will always be with you, even to the very end." Walk in the power of Christ, and your giants will become as grasshoppers. You're not a child of God, and you want to obey the gospel this night. Do not delay, but make it known through the watery grave of baptism. You will be washed clean of your sins and be given a new life. If you are a Christian, if you're facing those giants today, and you need our prayers and help to overcome these giants, we pray that you also come. If anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.